a good song. Bible says there'll be some that get before the Lord and say, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Lord, didn't I teach? He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's good to consider. It's good to reconsider whether or not you are in the Lord or not. Do you know Jesus as Savior? And that's a great song. Help to remind us. It is good to have Brother McKinney with us tonight, missionary to the North American Indians. Again, I met Brother McKinney 20 or so years ago, and what a blessing to see his faithfulness over the years. And as for some of you tonight, I know we have some visitors here tonight as well as new members. We support our missionaries individually. So we support over 100 different mission projects, over 60 different foreign missionaries. And so kind of the bottom line is we support them about $75 a month. And if they come back and see us again, the foreign missionaries are those who are working with the Indians and other things, we give them a $25 raise a month. So the McKinneys would get a $25. They would start getting $100 a month. And we have some of our missionaries now, like Daniel Coates and his family, that were our first missionaries we ever took on 14 years ago, who get $150 a month now because they've been back to see us several times. And so it's a great thing that, and I believe God's blessed our church because we have, and we continue to put missions at the forefront. And missionaries like Brother McKinney and his wife have been so faithful to the ministry, so faithful. And Brother McKinney, you come and tell us more about your work. How many years now have you been working with the...
Since 78.
Since 78. I'm not good at math, so...
Thank you, brother. Amazing. Missions is the subject of the Bible. Mission is the heart of God, and it's good when you can capture just a part of that, and your rewards will be in heaven, and you're investing everything that you do. Sometimes you think it's a lot of money and a lot of things that's going out, but you're just making an investment, and you get returns on investments, and this is one of those investments you can't lose on. So we're glad to be here tonight, and preacher said... A long-time missionary. Well, they used to call it veteran. But I told my wife, I said, he means old. That's we've been missionaries for a long time. I pastored in Dallas, Texas back in 1978, First Indian Baptist Church. And there I kind of got my feet wet. I learned that there were Native Americans in the city. So I started calling them urban Indians. And people used to laugh at that because about that time, I think Urban Cowboy was around. But from there, we went to Oklahoma, started a couple of churches there, went on to Washington and started several there and directly and indirectly. And so now we're in Portland, Oregon. So still a lot of work to do up there. There are 28 reservations in Washington. 31 tribes, 28 reservations, and now in Oregon, there's 22 tribes and 16 reservations. And right around the area that we're in Portland, there's about 30,000 Native American Indians. So everywhere you go, there are Indians. I know in Texas, you got two federally recognized tribes. Anybody know what they are? I thought my wife was raising her hand, but... One of them is the Alabama Cushata, down there by Livingston. The other one is Kickapoo. Okay. All right. That's your history lesson tonight. Let's go ahead and start with the DVD. And I'm going to narrate, so we don't have any music or anything, so we'll start out like this. Is this thing on? Okay, we start out like that. You ready? All right. My wife and I started, we got saved in this little building back in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. The missionary that came to us started the Naomi Baptist Mission. And when we got saved, we went off to Bible college and came back, and he was leaving. He had that one big part of the building there that was all that was there, and he was leaving. He was quitting. His church mission work had gone down, so we asked if we could have it. So we organized it in about a year. and the Lord blessed it. This is pictures just recently. We was over there. We try to drop in there about once a year and encourage them. And we left it with Brother Andy Ward, and he's been there for all these years. Got a good number of young people and children and young married couples, really. But it's stuck, isn't it? Is that thing stuck? You might have to make it go. Just click on it or something. All right, there you go. And we had a guy surrender to preach. He was driving 95 miles one way to come to our church there in Broken Bow. And when he surrendered to preach, before we went to Washington, we took him over there to Bennington, Oklahoma, started a church over there, and left him in charge of that. He's been there for about 25 years now, so the church is still there. And that's one thing that we want to do is we don't want our churches to stay a mission work. Too many times when you work with missions, you stay a mission. We will organize it to be autonomous, where they're self-governing, self-supporting, self-propagating. And then we went to Tacoma, Washington, 1988, and we used the living room, outgrew that, and found this building and bought it. Then Tacoma has, you can see the totem poles. There's the clannish coastal Indians. They got legends and all kinds of stories behind these totem poles and the clans of bears or wolves or fish or something that they come from. But there's 200,000 people in Tacoma, and 10% were Native American Indians, and then there was an extra 9,000 just right inside the city limits called the Puyallup Tribal of Indians. And so our church was located where we could minister to these people, and Brother Louis is the pastor there now. We left him there about 7-8 years ago, and we trained him. He'd never gone to Bible college. I trained him myself and left him there. I was afraid if he went to Bible college, he would never come back. And so he's still there, and we had Bible school this summer. I'm still training him on a lot of little things, and so he's allowed us to just be a mentor to him. And so you can see that God's using him there, young man who used to run with the gangs and in California, and then when he moved to Washington, had married an Indian girl that gone to our church, and I led him to the Lord, and he surrendered to preach. And so God's been good to us in that area of leading, seeing people surrender to preach. And so we went to Portland, Oregon, my wife and I, and this building is where we meet. It was given to us, and we started the church, Glendevere Baptist Church. We're right off a main street going into Gresham, Oregon. And Portland is a good-sized city, beautiful city. If you ever been there, I mean, some of you already told me that you've been there. Some of you have been in the military there in Fort Lewis and McCord. So you know that area pretty well. But it's a beautiful place. If you went to the city, you'd have to cross a lot of bridges just to go to the city center. But it's kind of like that with people's lives, you know, because especially here, they're a lot different kind of people than you would find anywhere else. I understand that Austin, Texas has a slogan that says, "Keep Austin weird." Well, they had the same slogan there too, "Keep Portland weird." And there's a reason for that, you know. They're anti-marriage and anti-Bible, anti-church and everything else. But God's allowed us to go in there and start a church. We got a lot of elderly people. And we just went there. This time, instead of just trying to target on natives, we just went in there and started a church because we don't have a lot of churches there. And I thought it'd be good just to start one. And God's blessed us with a good group of people and salvation of the young and the old. And some of these Indians come from the Warm Springs Reservation, just right in central Oregon, south of Mount Hood and down towards Bend, Oregon. We've got Warm Springs, we've seen Chippewa, we've seen Lakota Sioux. We just, like I said, there's urban Indians, so they're all different tribes. But like I said, Lord has used it to help us build a church there. A lot of work on our building, a lot of things rotted out on the bottom, and so we keep putting money into that thing. And this last project was building a new restroom, and I tell everybody that, you know, we got a brand new restroom now, so we just need a new building to go around it. And we'll be all in good shape. But We've been trying to raise money, so we only got one bathroom there, and we've been trying to raise money to build another restroom. So you pray for us on that. There's Indians all the way down I-5 corridor, Tacoma to Portland. There's Muckleshoot, Nisqually, Squaxin, Cowlitz, Chehalis. You don't have to go way out in the woods to find them. They're just right off the interstate. And so, but there's a lot of tribes there that's never been worked with for a long period of time. We can account for about 7 reservations up there, but other than that, the rest of them, their whole coast needs people to go work. There's 5 tribes right along the coast, and nobody's up there. But the tribes up there, they take care of their own. They are pretty wealthy tribes, but they're lost. You know, there's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is where it ends up anyway. It doesn't matter how much you got or how good it is for you. Warm Springs is our next place to go. We've already been there. We've held meetings there. They're real traditional. They have what you call longhouse. They have 7 drums. They have the Indian Shaker religion, and they're real hard to reach. But God's Spirit can reach them, and so you pray for us that we'll be able to get in there, be a gospel preaching place. There's 5,000 natives in there, right in there, and nobody there to reach them. In 1996, I started the Native American Baptist Fellowship, where one preacher and I, this guy right here, he came from Oklahoma too. He went up to the northeast part, and we started a fellowship. I told him, I said, you be the president, I'll be the vice president, nobody can vote us out. just promise, you don't leave, I don't leave. And so we kind of built on that, encourage each other, and pretty soon we got some other guys coming in and wanting to know where to go, and we kind of pointed them where to go, and they started work. So now we got about a dozen people up in Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana. And we fellowship together, and that's usually considered our revival time. And it's good to see our Indian churches beginning to grow and see good fellowship among themselves, and in learning how to encourage each other, and learning how to build other churches. And so we do all we can to help each other. This guy right here, we let one of our first converts when we went to Washington. He did his research some time back, And he said, Brother Larry, he said, I was one of the first guys, probably in the whole state of Washington, as a full-blood Indian that was called to preach. And so we got him over there in Suquamish Indian Reservation, and he's a Duwamish Indian. Him and his wife were drunks when we first met him, and he made $90,000 in 2 months of work. But he was poor because he was a drunk. But Jesus changed all that for him. And so our plea to everybody has been, help us. Help us by supporting us. You do that. You pray for us. But we need people to go. Oregon is a place that is wide open. You don't have no competition. You can land anywhere you want to and start a church, and you don't have to worry about people coming in and stealing your people. so you pray for us. And God leads you to go. It doesn't matter how old you are. God leads you to go. Go. Good place to start a church. It's still called or considered a pioneer state. And I guarantee you, when you go up there, you'll be amazed. First time I ever went, and first person I ever witnessed to, he was a Puyallup Indian man, and he had never had anyone sit down present the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. He had no idea who Jesus was. And that was an amazing thing to me. It really thrilled my soul to go to a place like that. So even in all of America, there's still places like that. You know, in the South here, you have one Baptist church. That's what statistics says, one Baptist church to every 3,000 people. But when you go up in the Northwest, you got one Baptist church to every 18,000 people. And that's a long break in there. So you can see, even in our country, this is not no foreign land. It's in your country where churches are needed.
Right.
And if you want to challenge young people, young men, young couples, you ought to consider the Northwest. I know that it'll really, really change your life. I want to introduce my wife, Regina. She and I got saved same night, same church service, and surrendered to preach, and she just followed along. Been married 42 years this year, and the Lord's been good to us. And you have to understand something. My wife and I weren't born in a Christian home. Our parents weren't Christian. Our parents didn't take us to church, and no bus came picked us up, and we never read the Bible at home. We didn't know what devotions were, altar praying was. We didn't know any of those things. But we got saved. And when we got saved, our kids got saved. And when our kids got saved, our grandkids are getting saved. And that's the way God does it. And that's a blessing. You wouldn't trade it for anything. And so that's just an encouragement. We want to thank you for supporting us and helping us go to these places and start these works and being able to be a blessing in the Northwest. And we got a few more years left, so you pray for us that God will keep us healthy. This morning I stepped on something. The floor was uneven at the mission house where we were staying, and I fell down and I hit the wall and I hurt my hip. And so my wife told me tonight, she said, "Don't you be up there dancing. Leave your Indian dance around alone." You know? And so I'm going to try to do that tonight. I'll behave this evening. But in Romans chapter 10, if you look in verse 13, Romans 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like this verse. If you're Indian, it's good for you because you say, "How? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And is as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things." Notice it said how, it didn't say howdy. Texans? through the book of Romans. Interesting book. Go through the book of Romans. Romans is all about salvation. It's all about God's plan of salvation. It starts out with man's depravity. It teaches you man away from God, how dark it gets. Seeking glory for himself and taking God's glory away. I mean, he teaches us how deep in sin we get. He teaches us, because we're sinners, of the guilt that's upon us. The guilt. The guilt. And where does that guilt go? It teaches us again and again the effects of sin. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. It tells us the power of sin in Romans chapter 7. Paul tells us that again and again, the power of sin. Look over there in Romans chapter 7 real quick. I want to read this to you. He says in verse 23, "But I see another law of my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I mean, that's the power of sin. But when you get to chapter 8, you begin to see some other things. You see where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so it's a, now as you get into Romans 10, it's a call to salvation. A call to salvation. You know, in salvation, you got to remember this. I know we look in the scripture and you find out in Matthew chapter 7, where the preacher was alluding to a while ago. He's talking about how those who are called and say, but Lord, we did all these things. And he'll say, I never knew you. In that same chapter, he said, broad, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. But narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. But then at the same time, in the plan of salvation, the Bible says this in Romans 1:16, that it is the power of God unto salvation to them. The power of salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Listen, to the Jew first. And then he goes on. You follow the Bible and you see it again and again. Oh, John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, he says, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In the plan of salvation, in the plan of God's salvation, there's room enough to as many as received him. That's where you fit in. Because when we read Romans, it's talking about missions. And how shall they call on whom they've not believed, or believe in whom they've not called? And the thing about it is, what is missions about? You're about missions. Missions is you. Missions is me. We're about missions. We go and send the gospel of Christ to all the lands, the foreign lands, homelands, inland, everywhere we can, because the gospel of Christ is needed for a man to be saved. Our Indian people, if you learn anything about Indian people, they're really traditional and ritualistic. They're really religious. Hardest people to reach anywhere, religious people. Even the Jews, it says that in Romans chapter 10, verse 1 and 3 there. My desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And he goes on to say, and I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And then people have their own ways. They have their own tradition. I mentioned to you a while ago the traditions of the Northwest are the seven drums. Anybody ever hear the seven drums? There's the drumming that they do, and that's popular up there. Any drumming that they do is a drumming to call down the spirits. The Shaker Indian religion, it's a cult. The Longhouse religion, it's just all just tradition. We have a tribe up there that I want to go start one work with them. They're in a place called Bellingham, Washington. Off of the shores there, there's a little island called Lummi. Anybody know where Lummi Island is? There's an Indian tribe up there that nobody's ever been up there, starting a church among them, and they have what you call the black face religion. And it's one of those life or death religions. You can get in, but you can't get out. When you try to get out of it, you're going to die. I've done funerals for a lot of them. They try to leave and they can't get out. See, all that's in the United States. And some of you go to powwows and say, oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? See these Indians out there dancing, hooping, hollering, and oh, such elegance. You don't even know what's behind it. Let me tell you something. When I got saved, I joined another group of people. It's called the Church of the Living God. When I got saved, I joined another group of worship, where I worship in spirit. But more than just spirit, but in truth. You see, I dance to a different beat. It's the beat of the Holy Spirit. It's the beat of the Word of God. It's the beat of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's the thing about it, is we got to realize that there are Indians all around us in this country that need Christ. When the Bible says He came to the Jew first and also to the Greeks, we got to realize, I like that, because I like to divide that to the Jew first. But He didn't stop there. But also, and that's what we got to remember. Every time a missionary comes through here, you remember. And then also to those people that He's going to. Also to that part of the country. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, and he said that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. He's telling you there's mission work everywhere. Every place. Every people. At any time. It's all there. We just need to get busy. And we need to be the missions. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings. Notice he's leading in this plan of salvation. He's going to a progression, because he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? It's good to have the gospel message, but how shall they preach it if you're not sending them? I'm glad somebody helped us. Your church helped us. Your other churches helped us. God called us to work with our Indian people many years ago, and we were going to go. Whether people helped us or not, we were going to go. Why? God called you. And I did. I went. I mean, I'm a young preacher back then, and I said, I'm just going to go. I raised a little support, and I raised enough support. We went on to Washington. We had enough that what I raised, I could have made a living in Oklahoma with it, but when I went to the Northwest, it wasn't hardly enough. So I had to take on a job. I had to work at security. I had to work at a sawmill. I had to work selling cars. I was a tent maker. But nobody's ever accused me of just doing it for the money. But we went anyway. And I'm telling you, I'm just trying to get you to understand that you can be part of this great thing, mission work, this great thing of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you remember that every time a missionary walks through here. Keep that thought in mind. You see, because what you're doing is realizing that, like the Bible says, it's so wide open. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not by works of righteousness which you have done. I mean, it's by God's love, God's grace, God's mercy that these people are being saved. But you get to be a part of that. It's to the Hebrews. I hope you have some ministries to the Hebrews. I've got a couple guys around our church, one of them especially. His name's John. He's a Jew, and I just love the man. He's always polishing me up on what we need to do for the Jews. But it's to the Hebrews. The gospel is for them. And also to the Greeks. It's the gospel is for the helpless. The gospel is for the hopeless. The gospel is for the heathens. People ask me all the time, I ask them because I trick them. You want to hear our Indian names? And everybody says, yeah. It's Larry and Regina McKinney. I know they think I'm Sitting Bull. But the Choctaw people a long time ago became Christianized. They took on Christian names. And so when you saw an Indian with a Christian name, you say he's a Christian. But now it doesn't work that way, does it? I know a lot of Erics that are heathens. I didn't look at them. I know a lot of Larrys that are heathens. See, those Christian names didn't work anymore. But what I'm saying to you today is this. You remember that promise was given? I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance. I like that. There are a lot of heathen people out there need to be saved. A lot of heathen people need to be reached. Outside of Christ, without hope, aliens, strangers, without God in this world. You see, that's what we need to focus on. How shall they hear without a preacher? Missions is about you and you and you and you and me. And I'm glad tonight that you're already doing it. And I'm glad tonight you've been part of our lives, helping us to reach Indians for Christ. Starting churches and building churches. Long when my wife and I get old and die, churches will still be going in the Northwest. Those Indian people have been taught to keep their doors open and keep preaching the gospel. Continue on to reach another generation of Indians that are coming up. Would never have been possible without your help. Father, we thank you tonight just for the little moment to share our heart with the people. Thank you, Lord, tonight that you have given us the grace, the ability tonight to help folks like these to be aware again, Lord, with a conviction in their heart and soul that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Father, we're grateful tonight that there is neither any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus is it. There's no backup plan. There's no plan B. Jesus is it. He's the salvation of all people. And we pray that if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, tonight, I pray that you'll bring them to the cross, that they'll come and know Jesus Christ in a really saving way. And there may be somebody here tonight that's just visiting. But Lord, I pray maybe they're looking for a good church that they can plug into. And here's one right here. Maybe somebody just needs to make some decision tonight. Maybe some burden upon their heart. So pray, Lord, that you give them the leading and the guiding that they need. Help them make the decisions that they need to make. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Eric, come. Thank you.